Eugene, in as a whole, though, is a incredibly bike friendly state, and there's bike lanes everywhere, great accommodation, and it really shows. I don't know if they have more progressive or politics, it's the weather, the people, I'm not really sure, but it sure was a nice place to be, and you could really tell in the way that people looked and reacted toward bicycles. But anyway, I was in Eugene, Oregon, and I toured the Bike Friday factory there. I was fortunate enough to meet one of the workers of the factory there the day before at breakfast, and he offered to give us a tour of the factory, and I recorded it for Cranksters. So here we are talking with Hugh Larkin, Eugene, Oregon. LPFM Columbus, and we are here in Eugene, Oregon, the great city of Eugene, Oregon, at Bike Friday, talking with bike consultant and cyclo adventurer Hugh Larkin, who's been kind enough to give us a tour of the Bike Friday factory, showroom, and operations. How are you doing today, Hugh?
Great, Zach. How are you doing? Glad to make you come in here after seeing you for breakfast yesterday.
I'm doing well, and I'm excited about our factory tour. We've got a Bike Friday ticket right in front of us. Can you tell us, start off telling us about this particular bicycle?
Yeah, the ticket's our new commuting level type bike. It's meant so that you can quickly put the bike onto a bus or onto a train, throw it in the back of your car in that case too, if you're carpooling with friends. But it's meant to be a one-piece little bike that gets you in and out of downtowns, or some cases with people, they do like to travel with the bike. But it's meant to be just a fast little commuter bike, fast folder, and it's our American version of the Brompton and Dayhond. We've got several others. Our mainstay has been our New World Tourist. That's been the bike that was came out in Bicycling Magazine about 15, 16 years ago. And it was meant to be a bike that could go into a suitcase. It was designed by Hans Scholz, one of the founders of Bike Friday, that he could take with him as he traveled and ride his bike and have performance, whereas going to someplace like Amsterdam and trying to rent a bike there, you get a big old big wheel clunker that you can't do anything with. So the Bike Friday was meant to be a quick folding travel bike that has a lot of performance and take it with you.
Excellent. I see we have a tandem folding bike, which I had never seen before in my life in person.
The one you see in front of you is the Tandem Tuesday. It's the first packable tandem that comes apart in sections. It'll actually fit into two suitcases instead of the one like our New World Tourist or some of our other bikes. The other bikes that are tandems that are out there on the market now use what they call S&S couplers, and so you take it apart in sections. Ours comes apart in sections too, but ours is easier to fit all into travel cases, whereas the other ones you have to use still big bike boxes because of the wheels.
All right. Interesting name, Bike Friday. Do you know the history of that name, where it came from? Does it mean anything in particular?
Well, Friday was a companion for in the Robinson Crusoe book from Daniel Defoe. I can't remember who the author is. He's the actor. Anyway, it was in the, Friday was a companion, and so Bike Friday has been the steadfast companion for a lot of bike tourists, and so that's where the name came from.
Interesting. First time I had seen a Bike Friday, I was actually doing a cross-country ride about 2 years ago to the day almost, and I ran into a gentleman in Illinois who had a Bike Friday, and I was rather impressed. You have a some sort of neat system with tag-along sort of trailer that the bicycle would then be packed into. Is this true?
Yeah, we do. Our tag-along is one where we take and have a hitch attached to the one of the chain stays, and then the trailer has a swivel that it mounts on. It's actually a high-pressure hose fitting, and then we put on top of the trailer frame the suitcase. So everything can be self-contained. Actually, you can take and fly to an airport and unpack your bike, assemble the bike, and assemble the trailer. Take your other bag and throw it in the trailer, in the suitcase, which is the trailer, and off you go. There's no need for trying to catch a bus, catch a taxi, or even have your friends pick you up. You can just ride to their house.
I'm in the sales office. Sales meeting starting in the sales office. Busy place here, Bike Friday. Is this the international headquarters here?
This is the international and only headquarters for Bike Friday. We do have distributors and dealers all around the world. We have several in Japan, Korea, Australia, all across Europe, and we're growing. It's a really nice business to be involved with and having fun with it. Yeah, all the places that we sell the bikes are popular commuting centers, you know, either outside of Tokyo where people would ride into Tokyo, of course, on the mass transit. We have dealer in Amsterdam. He's right there in the heart of Amsterdam, and again, the Dutch are great cycle commuters. We've got people in Germany, in Berlin. We have somebody in Vienna, Austria. All these places where people ride cycles. England, same thing. We have Avon Valley in Bath, England. There's several others near York and up north towards Manchester and, Liverpool, I guess it is. Can't remember all the towns. And then again, in Australia, we have a couple distributors in the Sydney area on the East Coast. Nobody on the West Coast of Australia yet, but we're working on it.
Well, when was Bike Friday founded? How long has it been around?
Well, Bike Friday started out as Green Gear Cycling, and it's been around for quite a number of years. Alan Scholes, who is one of the co-founders of the Burley Design, which is the ubiquitous yellow trailer that everybody sees being pulled around, he was involved with that from the get-go. And then Alan and Hans started making tandems for Burley when Burley was getting into the bicycle business other than just the trailer business. And one thing led to another with, again, Hans wanting to have a performance bike that he could take with him as he's traveling. And about 18 years ago, Bike Friday was born out of Hans's desire to have a traveling bike. And from there, it's just slowly grown. And now we're starting to see that, not quite an exponential growth, but it's a really good, strong growth in the last 3 or 4 years.
Excellent. I'm ever more interested in cycling beyond just movement, but also carrying cargo, being able to take the bike with you. And I think Bike Friday is a great example of this sort of concept, that it's more than just a recreational tool. It's more than just something to win races and be the fastest guy out there. So applause to that. We're talking with Hugh Larkin here on Cranksters, WCRS, and I believe we're going to take a little factory tour before we start. What all happens here at Bike Friday? From
we do everything here except for making the original manufacturer's components that go onto the bikes. We have all the design work is done here in-house by Hans and Rob English. Rob is the fastest European on two wheels. And then we have all the guys in the back. We have two different production lines that build the bikes. One is our custom line and one is our ticket line. And so all the frames are cut, welded, brazed, sandblasted, powder coated, and assembled, and then shipped out of here in Eugene. And then we have a sales staff that's here that we support all of our dealers, as well as do direct sales around the world. And that's pretty much in a nutshell. But we do everything right here except for making like the shifters and brakes and all that. Those are always done by the specialty guys that make thousands and millions of them for all the bike manufacturers around the world.
What about the tubing? Is that made locally or here in Eugene?
No, we get the steel from a supplier outside of Portland. It's all chromoly steel. We do use some titanium tubing in a couple of instances, but basically our frames are all chromoly steel. The idea behind it is that if you go someplace in the world and your frame cracks, you can get somebody to weld it. And as we go through the little tour here shortly, I'll show you one of our bikes where one of our customers who's was on a trip around the Baltics, the frame cracked, and couldn't speak any Russian. All he did was point at the frame, go bzzz to the guy, and the guy fixed his frame, and 20 minutes later, at no charge to him, he was back riding again.
Oh, great story. All right, well, it'd be my pleasure if we go on this factory tour, and hopefully it's not too noisy.
All right, so we'll take off here and go up. Here we are in service. This is where all the bikes come in as far as customers wanting to have their bikes repaired or serviced by us. We do warranty repair on the frames. We do have a lifetime warranty on all the bike frames that we sell directly to our customers or through our dealers. And we probably go through probably 5-6 bikes a day here just to take care of it, bikes that are sent to us. We also do staging for our stock bikes, so that if you're wondering where your bike is and you're part of a big bulk shipment going to, say, Australia or Japan, we stack them up here, and then once we get about 5-10 bikes all bundled up, then we'll do a bulk shipment out to you. Let's go on down to the inventory. This is our inventory room, and everything we do here is all just in time. We are just enough parts to keep us going, and also enough parts that we can sell over the counter, so to speak, to our customers that either do web orders or phone in and say, hey, can you send me these parts for my Bike Friday? And we have a real great following that all of our customers, in a lot of cases, prefer to deal with us, even though they could buy their parts directly from their local bike shop. For some reason, there's some mystic, I guess, about buying from us here at the factory, and that it's going to magically work, when in reality they could go to any bike shop and use the parts that any shop would have.
So Hugh, what are some of these things here in all these bins? This is pretty neat visual.
What we've got here are headsets, components. So we've got bearing races, we've got bearings, lock nuts, we've got all sorts of collars for things. We have stems for putting your handlebars on. On the other side, we got tires above our head, all sorts of tires for the bikes that we sell. We also have our tools and, you know, spare parts, drill bits, grinders, bar tape, you name it, we got it for what we need to do here.
Looks like a cyclist Christmas day here.
I call this the candy store. It really is a lot of fun. Myself, I've been a Friday owner for 13 years, and when I got a chance to come to work here, I said, sure, you bet. Now I get to play with all the candy, and that's what all my friends tell me. It's like, can I come to work here too?
What are all these things hanging in these net mesh bags?
This is part of our just-in-time manufacturing process. It allows us to kit all of our bikes with all the components that are going to go onto a frame. And we have spacing here for up to 4 weeks' worth of bicycles to be built. It may not look like it, but there's quite a bit of bags here that are hanging with all these components in it. The nice thing about the bags, too, is it allows us to see what's in the bags, that we know nothing is getting missed, and that everything is going to be shipped out with the bike to the customer. It's a means of quality control. In the past, where we've put them into crates, sometimes the pieces fall out of the crates, but this here is a real positive way. We're trying to be real conscientious about what we do. All of our bikes are kitted so that 2 weeks out from the date of manufacture and delivery, that everything is there. There's nothing missing from the bike. When the bike goes into the line to be actually built, it's about a 2-day process. And once the process is completed, everything goes out.
Hey, look through these little bags and see all the contents we have in them.
Sure, go ahead.
I got some hubs, cassettes, a water bottle, cage. What do we got on this other side here? Handlebars. Looks like we got some stem collars there.
Crank.
Bulletproof crank. Clipboard. That's a pretty neat system. This other one, we got some rims and tires.
At the back end here, what we're looking at is, this is where he's just beginning to bring all the parts together that are going to go on the bike. If you come on down here, you're going to see a complete setup as far as the bike being ready to go, except for missing just the frame. Something like this here, we've actually got a trailer kit that goes with the suitcase. And, of course, the one thing that gets pulled out at the very end is the suitcase, because the bike will be packed in the suitcase as we ship it out. So there's some components that we don't have here on the line, but they're right here with us, so that we just grab them, and then everything is boxed up and shipped out the door. Over here is our, as we pass through before we get to the production area, is our shipping area. And Rita back there, she does all of our shipping. And it's amazing how many boxes she gets out in a day. It's tons of boxes. I'm guessing there are days she ships out of here probably 20 to 30 bikes. Of course, some days she doesn't ship any bikes because they haven't got them all finished, like on a Monday. But on by Friday, when all the boxes are ready for all the different customers and dealers, she's scrambling like a chicken with her head cut off. This is our production area. It's kind of a little bit quiet because they're not chopping all the metal. But we have a chop saw here that cuts all the metal to the right length that we need. In the back corner over here, and where Merle's working, we're taking and doing all the mitering to all the pieces. And then along the back wall, you'll start seeing some sparks. Ryan's back there, and he's doing all the teak welding on all the frames. And that's where we do all the structural assembly. In the back corner through the, over here is where we do our brazing for all of our fittings, such as the eyelets and water bottle mounts. That happens back in there. And then around the corner is our sandblaster. We take and sandblast all the frames once they're all been prepped. And as soon as they're sandblasted, we take and run them into our paint booth where we do a powder coating. And once it's powder coated, it goes into an oven and bakes for about 20 minutes and has a nice hard plastic durable finish on the bikes. So it's really nice. It's we do custom colors. We do sometimes do custom paint jobs, sort of like what you saw on my bike yesterday. But
what are some of the neatest, most memorable paint jobs ever done on a or ever requested at Bike Friday?
We had a gentleman from the UK that he bought a Bike Friday from us years ago, sold it. And then in the process of his getting divorced and getting remarried to someone else, he found his old bike again, so he bought it. And he sent it in to us for a complete overhaul, and he wanted a new paint job. And he says, well, I want the forks to be yellow, the frame to be orange, and the rear end to be candy raspberry. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty outrageous.
I know a guy back in Columbus who has a similar design called the Lego bike.
That sounds pretty cool.
Can we possibly see the painting studios?
Yeah, we can sneak around the corner here real quick, and let's go this way. I'd open the door for you, but Bethany's inside, and it's best
for the consequences.
Exactly. What happens is, with the powder coating, we have a vacuum in there, and she's also cleaning out the booth, but the idea is that there's a fan that sucks all the powder so that it goes into some filters, and we don't want to open anything out. We don't want dust, metal particles coming from the shop area here getting in there and contaminating anybody's paint job. We take and align frames here. This is where you make sure everything goes together properly and the wheels will ride down the road correctly. These guys are putting the bikes together. They're putting all the cabling on, all the components on. And once they're through with that, what they're going to do is they'll do test rides of every bike before it gets shipped out. And once they do the test ride, then they'll package the bike up and it goes to the customer.
Yeah. Have you guys ever done any deep Vs?
Any what?
Deep V velocity rims?
You know, I couldn't tell you that one. Yeah, he's saying, yes, we have done them. We do all sorts of things. Most of the things we do is just we try to keep it stock and relatively easy for people to work with. But we do custom builds for people. We'll order special order parts in that most people would never order, you know, Durace or SRAM Red for racing components. We do all that. There's some things that we won't do, you know, if it's, it gets to be problematic in the design and the matching of components, we won't do that.
What do we see here?
This is our ticket line. This is where we do the custom commuter bikes. And which, again, same processes on the other side. We have a cutting station, we have a welding station, a brazing, powder coating, and assembly, and then packing. Everything is also kitted here for the ticket line, just like it is for the custom line. And the noise you hear here is also our second powder coat booth. So again, we two separate lines can do two complete bike lines, so it works out really nice. This is our sales area. This is where we've got 8 salespeople that take care of all the dealers around the country. And what you see up hanging around are some of the early bikes that Hans and Alan used to make, both for Burley as well as for themselves. It used to be called ATP. I'm not sure what ATP stands for, but again, these are bikes these guys have made, prototypes. We've got racing bikes, tandems, and recumbents of some kind up here on the wall. We also have a good customer support service here besides our service department. Tim over here is working 2 different computers, and that way he can be answering phones and emails and multitasking with 2 customers at the same time to take care of their issues. We do have a lot of people that call in directly and ask for questions. And again, like I said earlier, they also ask for parts.
Yeah, the top of the room here is filled with conceptual bike frames and bicycles completed, including some recumbents, tandems, and this interesting Schlaz frame with sort of a tiger style on there. Have you ridden any of these bikes up here?
What's that again?
Have you ridden any of these along the wall?
No, none of us have ridden any of these bikes. These are all just display bikes. They were ridden by Hans and Alan. This is our little marketing department. Hannah does all of our marketing directing around here. And you can see we keep track of where all of our customers primarily are at.
Oh, excellent.
All the way from New Zealand through Tokyo.
Watch out behind.
And on across the U.S. back to London and Berlin. This is our lunchroom, rec room, little foosball if you want some action there. Every once in a while we do get the ping pong table out and working as a ping pong table rather than as a storage area. But this is where we just kind of hang out and veg out after working all day or during the middle of the day, just take some time out.
What do we see up here in this attic-like area?
That's going to be part of our in-house bicycle museum beyond what you saw in the sales room. There's a variety of bikes up there. If you see the old red one right up here, that's our old diamond frame that was originally featured in Bicycling Magazine years ago. And we have our recumbent that we've discontinued, but we hope to bring back. There's a lot of people like folding recumbents that'll go into suitcases. And we've got some other people's bikes in there, too, that we've looked at as far as review, trying to see what they've done, and then we try to improve and make our bikes even that much better. And this one up here is kind of a wild one. Hans and Alan's mom and dad used to own a bike shop in North Dakota. And this bike here has a rear wheel with studded rear tire, and then it's got a blade on the front for riding, for ice cycling, if you want to call it
ice
that.
Ice bike, yeah.
You guys have ice bikes back there?
I've seen them in photographs, but I've never seen one in person.
All right.
Now.
They're pretty wild. We also have over here is our shower rooms. There's guys and gals separate shower rooms, so we do lunch rides here.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come back after a nice, hot, fast ride with a group, you're going to want to get cleaned up a little bit and not smell so much like the dogs that we are, you know, from riding really hard, and get cleaned up. So it's nice to have the showers. Then we've got lockers for everybody to put all their stuff in, and it makes it nice. One other thing we've got, too, is we have a little bike storage garage here, and we strongly encourage commuting. And just about every bike you see in this room here is ridden every day. At the end of the day, this room is pretty much cleared out. There might be 1 or 2 bikes left behind because some people have 2 bikes, one they commute in on and another one they do the lunch ride on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. So it's a good tour. You guys did a lot done here. It's more than I expected, from cutting the tubes to pushing them out. What's the future of Bike Friday? Do you have any big plans or announcements to make?
There's no big announcements at this point. We're just out there trying to meet a global need, meet a commuting need, meet an environmental need. We advertise our ticket as the answer to Al Gore's big question, and as far as global warming, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be a good homegrown American-based company that provides a great quality product to citizens here in the States as well as around the world. And I think we're trying really hard to do it the right way.
Talking to Hugh Larkin at Bike Friday here in Eugene, Oregon. Is there any way our listeners can find out more about Bike Friday?
You can check us out on the web at www.bikefriday.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Hugh, very much.
Thanks, Zach. It was a great pleasure to meet you. And one of these days when I get back there to Columbus, I'll drop in and see you at the studios.
Excellent. I'd love that.
And you're back on Cranksters here. That was Hugh Larkin once again at Bike Friday in Eugene, Oregon, and I'd like to give him a thank you once again for letting me and Eugene visit their factory out there. This is Cranksters, Columbus's premier bicycling radio showcase, and we're going to have an interview up next with a little while with Mr. Ray George, talking about Bike the Sea Bus, some bikeway information, and maybe about his recent trip to the European continent. But up next, here's a local band by some local some music by some local bicyclists. Their group is called A Fortiori, and here's their song, Cleopatra. Well, it looks like we might have some technical difficulties with the Cleopatra there. So here's another song by some bicyclists. This is Pirate with All.
Fixing your bikes, or your bikes are always breaking, and you don't want to go to those expensive bicycle shops. No way! Come to Third Hand Bicycle Co-op. It's located on 174 East 5th Avenue right here in Columbus, Ohio. The primary goal of the Third Hand Bicycle Co-op is to promote cycling as safe and environmentally responsible transportation. This nonprofit organization provides community members with the facilities and tools, as well as the skills and knowledge, to help make cycling an essential part of their everyday lives.
You know how to reset a wheel?
Yeah.
Check out their website at www.thirdhand.org for more information and co-op hours. Third Hand Bicycle Co-op, the place to be for all your needs, wants, and bicycling desires.
And we're back here on Cranksters Live. That last song you heard was all by local bicyclist band Pirate, and you can check out more of them at myspace.com/listen to pirate. So, I'm your host, Zach Hinkle, and we have a guest in the studio, Mr. Ray George, a local cyclist, cyclist enthusiast, and ride organizer. Talking about the C-Bus ride. Are you helping organize this ride, Ray?
I am, Zach. Thank you for having me on today.
Thanks for coming in. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Actually, I just left the meeting for the ride, and I am co-chair of the ride, and this will be the first year for Bike the C-Bus. It's actually under the umbrella of the Long Street Tour, which has been going on for 4 years now. And I'd like to talk about the events for that day. It's August 23rd. That's coming up in a couple weeks. It's a Saturday. And there's actually a whole bunch of events surrounding Long Street Tour, including Bike the C-Bus. And everybody always says, C-Bus, what is that? And it's just slang for Columbus. I know that there's a little confusion with that, but the Long Street Tour actually is over in the on Long Street in the King Lincoln District, which is starting to be revitalized with along with the theater, and it's showcasing that area as the start. And the Major Taylor Group actually puts on a early morning bike ride. There's actually a couple different mileage available, 12, 30, and 62 miles. There is the Bike the C-Bus ride that I'm part of, and that registration is at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the ride actually starts at 9, and I'll talk about a little bit about that ride. The it's actually the only urban ride that's organized that I know of that will actually go through the different sections of town to highlight the progress that's been made.
What sections are included there?
Well, we're starting out on Long Street, and we head east down towards Broad. We're going to go past Franklin Park,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to swing south and head up Bryden, and we're going to be heading towards town at that point. And we'll go on to East Town and then head up past the State House and head north at that point. There's actually four sections to the ride, and we encourage everybody to try to get out and ride the entire ride. It's 30-plus miles, but each section is about 6-7 miles each,
mm-hmm.
Give or take a mile or two. And then you head north on the route, and it will go past Goodale and Harrison West, and up past the Gateway, and ends up going through campus up to Woody Hayes Drive, and then it turns south on the Olentangy Trail. And then it actually heads east again at the around Sauter, and we head over to into downtown, and then it goes into the south into the German Village, and goes through Schiller and loops back up and kind of makes a roundabout past town again, and then heads over into Franklinton. But we kind of loop back through the trail again and on Sauter and West Park, and then over past Kosci and Broad, mm-hmm. and back to Long and back to the start. And what the hope is to get people out there to see all the different progress that's been made within those areas, because a lot of changes have occurred. And so when
they're also all very bicycle-friendly areas.
They are.
Core, I find.
They are. It's actually a pretty, obviously, a flat route. So, mm-hmm. And we're on major roads. The roads are not closed. I just want to make sure people are aware of that, but we're going to hopefully have a good bit of traffic out there, bicycle traffic, so that people will know what's going on and see other riders. And we'll have some route marshals out there for to direct people. There will be maps, and it actually the route will be painted out, so people, if they're when they're on the route, they can look down, and on the turns they'll see an actual spray-painted mark on the road and say, you know, turn here. And so they hopefully won't get lost. But you
That's
know.
Great.
Yeah. So when they come back from the ride, that actually will be the area where they left will actually be set up for the Long Street category races. It'll be Cat 5 to the pros racing all afternoon.
And I believe, is the mayor involved with this, or Mickey Coleman?
Well, the mayor actually had committed to doing it, but he is out of town for the Democratic National Convention. So, unfortunately, we are not going to have the mayor on the ride. He was announced to ride it, and I know he fully supports it and everything, but I think the convention actually, you know, beats us out for his time. So
okay, and we'll leave that at that.
Yeah.
So this is a this is, of course, let everybody know, it's a almost a leisure ride of types. You don't need to be experienced or know what you're doing or be of any type of skill level. So
right.
calling out for every kind of rider to participate.
Yes, and actually they're for families. They can come out and ride the entire route if they wanted, but there's also at 10 o'clock a kid's ride. It's actually called Tour de Columbus, and that was actually the mayor's ride, and mm-hmm. and actually that will go down long to the Mansion Day School and for a stop, and then turn around and come back to the start at the King Lincoln Theater. So,
and I see you're involved with Consider Biking here, considerbiking.org, one of a fellow nonprofit of the radio station here.
Consider Biking is a partner with us, and if you sign up for the ride, you'll have a day of discount of $15 towards a Consider Biking membership. So you can apply that $15 to whatever level you want, and they'll be there, have a booth at the Long Street Race area. So look for them as well. And we appreciate their help.
Yes, that's considerbiking.org. Find
it
out
is.
More about them, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is also part of the Long Street Tour. I really don't know much about that. You said earlier in the studio it's been going on about 4 years, or
mm-hmm.
this is the fourth. Can you tell our listeners a little about the Long Street Tour?
Well, the Long Street Tour is basically what I went through. There's also a Walk for Wellness, along with the Major Taylor Ride. It's the Bike the Seabus ride, the Tour de Columbus. There is a Walk for Wellness, which is at 9:30, and then the Tour de Columbus, which is the kids' ride. And that, like I said, goes down long. And then when people come back, the Long Street races actually go around the Hamilton and Long, and there will be Cat 5 races to the pro, all the way up to pros racing that day, and we're hoping that people hang out and watch those races.
Oh, excellent.
Or participate, too.
Are you going to be in any of the races, Ray?
Well, I've actually been asked to be a part of the Cat 5 race and be part of a small team. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I might try it. I'm open to anything. So we'll see.
I'll be rooting for you.
Okay.
How can our listeners out there find out more about how they can participate?
We have a website, actually two websites, bikethecebus.com. That's BIKETHECBUS.com. And also longstreettour.com, which is, of course, the parent event of Bike the Seabus. And I encourage everybody to go out to the websites and take a look. The route map is available as a PDF. People can download it. If you want to be a sponsor, we're looking for sponsors. Our deadline's next Friday, so we're open to people giving us a call or email. My email address is on the website several times, rgeorge@bikethecbus.com. And or if you go to Long Street Tour, there's sponsor information available there. If I may, I'd like to give a shout out to some of our sponsors, if I'm allowed to do that.
Okay.
We have, of course, City of Columbus is a sponsor. Columbus Housing Partnership, which is actually located right there on the corner of Hamilton and Long. Foundation for Active Living, the Ohio State University Medical Centers, United Healthcare, Aura Columbus over on East Town, my company that I work for, 889 Global Solutions, is a sponsor. We have some bike shops that are going to provide some technical support for the riders at various locations, Bare Wheels, Paradise Garage, Bike Source, Third Hand Bicycle Co-op is also, and Seagull Bags is part of it. And some of our rest stop sponsors, I'll run through these real quick. Urban Spirit Coffee Shop, which is on Long Street. Mansion Day School, which I mentioned earlier. The Athletic Club of Columbus. HER, Real Living, is part of it. And COSI is actually the last stop for the riders. And many of these rest stops will actually have raffles that we encourage everybody to ride the entire route and put their name in and win some cool stuff.
Do you know what the raffle prizes might be?
COSI may be giving away some merchandise. I know they're giving away some passes.
Oh, nice.
We also will be giving away some bicycle pumps from Genuine Innovations at some of those stops. The I'm trying to think what Urban Spirit may be giving away some gift certificates, but it'll be a variety of stuff.
Yeah. Seagull always likes to drop out a few bags.
Seagull is actually donating several bags, so I don't know where those are actually going to be given away. They may actually be given away. We're encouraging everybody to come around to the, you know, to make it to the end, whether they do a segment, two segments, or the entire ride. They're actually the $25 registration, you get a T-shirt, the wristband, which gets you the rest stops food, and at the end, there is lunch at the hospitality tent, so you get lunch included with that, too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Everybody out there, bike the C-Bus. So, Ray, you took a trip recently.
I did.
And you did some biking where exactly?
I went to Amsterdam and to Oxford, England.
Why were you out there?
My wife is a student at OSU Law School, and she decided to go to Oxford University for summer classes. And so I made a vacation out of going and seeing her. So I flew over and went to London, and then we went and traveled to Amsterdam, which is where I got to ride the bike around town, which is actually very interesting. They have a they have 700,000 residents, a little over 700,000 residents of Amsterdam, and about 600,000 bicycles.
Oh, wow.
Are within the city. I rented a bike at one of there were several bike shops that rented, and I rode around. They actually have separate bike lanes for alongside every road in Amsterdam. They have stoplights for each of the intersections, and what's kind of odd, they have a countdown timer. So when you're standing there at with your bike, you can look up at street sign.
Yeah.
And of course, in each of the little lights, so that you don't get confused, they have a little bicycle cutout in the light, and which is kind of cool. But they give you a timer to tell you when the light's going to change, so you can, you know, get ready to pedal. And that was actually pretty cool. And of course, everybody, you know, with all the bikes, they still have a I guess a crime issue, and with the rentals, you know, two locks, big chain lock, and lock it up to something, and lock the rear wheel. And I did that when I was riding around.
Installed rear wheel lock.
Yes, yeah, which I actually am not familiar. I don't have that on my bike, and I think they're more on the cruising or like the Electra Amsterdam style bike that that you see people riding around, and I'd never experienced that before, but they're pretty cool. And there was, I noticed a lot of people didn't even like lock their bikes to an actual object. They just would lock it up in the street and leave it there. So
how much biking did you do? Have any good funny stories?
I rode about 20 some miles, and actually it was a little bit rainy, and I did get splashed by a bus. I jumped in front of a bus, and then it got back at me by running through a puddle as I was heading over to the library, and I was totally drenched. But and I was not on a bike path at that point. I was on the street because they're actually working on the central station area there in Amsterdam. So basically the hub for all traffic, whether it's a bike, their trams, the buses, and their train system, which we took from Schiphol Airport right to the right to the heart of Amsterdam. Yeah. But the courtesy that exists in Amsterdam is pretty amazing. I actually had a tram stop for me on my bike. I was about to cross an intersection. I slowed down, and then it slowed down and stopped, and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to keep going. So I rode, but it's very refreshing to experience that level of acceptability for bicycles.
Excellent, awesome. And you also made it up to Merriott, England, I see. And
I was in Oxford.
You almost went to some factory of some sort of bicycle.
Well, I almost made it to the mythical Brooks Saddle factory.
Did you at least peek in the windows?
I did not. It was in Birmingham, which was about an hour and a half, 2 hours north of Oxford, and I ended up not doing a day trip and ended up walking around and visiting six bike shops, which I guess I should have just rented a bike, but you know, I wasn't thinking at that time, and it may have been the jet lag, but I did get to see some cool bike shops. Saw a co-op, the Oxford Cycle Workshop, which is kind of a counterpart to Third Hand, and kind of swapped some tales with them about bicycle theme rides, some of the stuff we've done recently, the White Castle ride and things like that. Yeah. Cemetery ride.
Are you familiar with the idea of a White Castle?
Well, there's really no chains over there, so I said, you know, you guys are going to have a hard time going, you know, I guess you could do a pub crawl, but then that would be every, like, you know, every third door. That wouldn't make it very far, but there wasn't a lot of chains there to be able to do something like that, and we joked about the cemetery ride, and yeah. Of course, there's a lot of cemeteries there, too, so they would be, you know, it would be every third door, I guess, they would be stopping. We actually have kept in touch, and I've been emailing back and forth, and we're going to try to swap some ideas for theme rides, which is kind of cool.
Did you tell them about your doodah experience and the doodah parade?
I did, and they were amazed by that. That was a very cool experience. I don't know if everybody knows. You know, I was on the front page of the newspaper. I was called by friends and said, "Hey, did you see?" And I said, "What?" We're on the front page, yeah. And we got to drag a 5,000-pound Bronco, I believe, is what it was. SUV through the streets in the doodah parade, and we used, I believe it was 9 bikes, and dragged it backwards through town. I think we were the best float. I'm biased, but I think we were the best float.
Pretty good. You got a lot of attention. Made the front page.
We did. Yeah.
Sunday paper. No.
I believe it was a Saturday. It was Saturday. The 5th, yeah, because it was the 4th that we...
Holiday Saturday at that.
Holiday Saturday, yeah. So we made the front page of the newspaper and the website, and I think we got a little bit of exposure for the Westerville to Arena District Bikeway.
Yeah, I've heard you've been working with that a little bit.
I actually attended a meeting on Monday, and we're trying to actually get a commuter group together to bring some... notice to the trail, because of the lack of the trail, it forces people to actually commute from Westerville over through Schrock on the road, and then there's a lot of people who are hesitant, of course, to ride on the road. Even though they're riding on Schrock, they want to be on the trail as much as possible, so they hit the Olentangy River Trail. And what we're going to try to do on the third Thursday of each month, this month it would be the 21st, I think we've got about 10 people signed up for it. We're going to start around 6:30 in the morning from the Westerville Bike Source and then head out that route and pick people up. There's more information is going to be on my blog, which is columbusrides.blogspot.com, and the Westerville Arena Bikeway website, which is, I believe, wadbikeway.com. But I may have to verify that.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And it's wadbikeway.com. And we're going to try to have that posted as well. And we're going to try to work out something with maybe some downtown facilities for showering, because that's one of the barriers to people commuting, mm-hmm. is, hey, I get on my bike and I ride 15, 20 miles an hour or whatever the pace it is, and then I'm all sweaty, and what do I do when I get into town to go to work? A lot of workplaces do not have showers. I know some of the bigger office buildings do, because we've met some people who actually have that access to that, which is nice. But we're trying to work out some facilities for people. So that's something we're trying to get organized to bring awareness to the Westerville to Arena District Bikeway, which will actually cut through the rail trail, yeah. And kind of give you cut out. I believe it's 20 miles now on the commute, it would cut it down to 11.
Yeah, yeah. We had Brett Allen, who I think is the chairman of the Wad Bikeway Board or plan. He came in for a previous Cranksters. Talked about that. So, but I'm a little confused on this one that gets to the Olentangy Trail. Are you trying to put up support to build a trail from Westerville to the Olentangy Trail, or is it
This is actually
an awareness campaign.
It's an awareness campaign, and it's trying to get one. It's just trying to get people to commute. We want to get people out on bikes. And so at this point, I know you could go other routes, but the people we were talking to at the Wad Bikeway meeting, they've already kind of picked this route, and they're comfortable with it. So it kind of shoots across from Westerville on Schrock over to the trailhead, and it shoots down. And it kind of gives people access through different spots along the trail. They can join in or shoot off, you know, from there if they're coming from Westerville into town. And I know it's kind of a roundabout way, but it's more to get one, get people out on bikes, and two, to bring awareness to the trail. Because if we were to get the trail built, it's going to cut out 9 miles and time and reduce the interaction with vehicles, which a lot of people actually, you know, prefer. I know I don't have a problem riding on the road, and I know you don't have a problem riding on the road. But there's a lot of people out there who would probably feel more comfortable with having a safe path to work, kind of like a safe path to school.
Yeah, I'm quite a street rider, but more and more I've been using the trail. I don't like all the noise of the cars. It just stresses me out. All that noise.
And you're getting, you know, breathing in fumes, and I can see both ways with the commuters. If they I think the general public would probably be more accepting of a commute if they had access to a trail, that would be safer, for the average rider. Because I think people become more comfortable riding in traffic once they become comfortable back on the bike. Because I think a lot of people who are considering commuting with the high price of gas, they probably haven't been on a bike in a while. And so they're, it's time to do something different, and they're getting on a bike, and they may not have a comfort level riding in traffic. So I think the trail would be good.
Right, right. How can people find out more information about that?
We're going to have it posted on my blog, which is columbusrides.blogspot.com. And then we're going to have the wadbikeway.com listed as well, or their blog, which is actually available from that website. And so we hopefully are going to plan it for the 21st of this month, and we'll see what kind of participation we get. We're going to try to do it each month, though.
All right. That sounds great. Ray, I want to thank you for coming in to Cranksters and talking about Bike the Sea Bus, the Wad Bikeway, your trip abroad, and the rest of that stuff. Thank you very much, Ray.
Thank you, Zach.
It's Cranksters, WCRS 102.1, 98.3. Peace out, Columbus. Have a good weekend.
Peace out. Yeah,